Good morning. We're doing the laws of Shabbat, and we had started learning about the concept of tiltul min atzad, that we're allowed to move things when I don't handle them directly. And so, for example, if I'm going to take the tablecloth, or I'm going to carry a table, and on the table there are multiple things, assuming the table did not become a basis, the davar asur, so then I'm allowed to move the other item, provided that I'm doing it letzorech davar hamutar. So that means, number one, I'm not handling the muktzah directly. Number two, the purpose of my moving it is for the sake of the permissible item. So if I want this table at the other end of the room, even though there's a pen on this table, I'm allowed to move the table because I don't care where the pen is, I care where the table is. So then that's tiltul min atzad. I am moving the muktzah item indirectly. I'm not touching the muktzah item directly. Letzorech davar hamutar. I'm doing it for the sake of the permissible item, the table that I'm allowed to move. So that is mutar. We mentioned that tiltul min atzad only works when I can't easily shake off the muktzah item. I'm scared it's going to break or something else will break. We gave the example that you have a basket, you have some fruit, and you have some money in the basket. If you're going to shake out the fruit with the money, so if it's potatoes, you can do it gently, the potatoes won't get ruined. But if it's peaches, where if they fall to the ground, they're going to get blemished, so then you can't do that. So then you can move it together. Let's say you have a platter, and on the platter you have this fancy cake, and someone left a 5-shekel coin on the platter. Well, the platter is a basis of davar mutar v'asur. If you're going to try to shake off the cake, the cake might get ruined. If you try to shake off the money without the cake getting off, the cake still might get ruined. So, tiltul min atzad is permissible when I cannot easily do ne'ur, I can't shake off the muktzah item easily. It is mutar when I'm not handling the muktzah item directly. And it is mutar if I have, provided that I have the third condition, and that is that it is only letzorech davar hamutar. I'm doing it for the sake of the permissible item. Okay, now we move forward within tiltul min atzad. Let's say someone forgot their pen on a plate, on a tablecloth. Technically, we said in order for something to be a basis ledavar asur, it has to be that you want it there. But if you forgot it there, if one of your kids moved your wallet or your pen onto the table, so then you're allowed to move the muktzah item if I need the thing somewhere else. That's also considered tiltul min atzad letzorech davar hamutar. Let's say I need this space. So I don't really need the davar mutar. I don't need the plate specifically on that table, but I need this table in this space. So then again, I can move it with tiltul min atzad. That's again considered litzorech davar mutar. Tzorech davar mutar, for the sake of a permissible item, is even if I don't need, let's say, this plate, this bowl, these fruits somewhere else, I just need them out of this way. So let's say, for example, if you have a vegetable drawer, and inside the vegetable drawer you have raw beets. I think most people don't eat raw beets. Let's say in the vegetable drawer you have raw meat. Let's say you have a shelf or a drawer in the freezer, and in that drawer you have raw meat, which no one's going to eat on Shabbos. Technically it's muktzah, you can't do anything with it. But you need that drawer out of the way so that you can put other things in the freezer. So now you're going to take out that drawer. You're doing tiltul min atzad on the meat. And by moving the drawer, you're handling the mukta, but you're not handling it directly. And you're doing it so that you'll have that space available. So that, again, is tiltul min atzad. And I'm not doing it for the sake of the mukta item. I'm doing it for the sake of the permissible space or the permissible items. You're sitting at a Shabbos table and you're eating pistachios. So you have all these pistachio peels. You put them in a bowl. Now you need the pistachio peels off the table. You want to have a nice meal the next meal. But wait a second, the pistachio peels are mukta. How can you move them? So if you're moving them with tiltul min atzad, if the way you're moving them is because you're moving the bowl, you're not moving the peels directly, and that's a tzarech davar mutar, I need that space. It's not because I want the peels in the garbage right now, it's that I don't want the peels on the table right now. I want the table to look nice. So that's going to be tiltul min atzad. I'm moving it from indirectly, I'm not touching the mukta item directly. Letzorech davar mutar, because I need this space available for my meal. Yeah.
I've seen often that people put a couple like pistachios or garinim in the bowl, so it's like not technically all people. Is that just a chumra, or how does it?
I don't know why it's necessary. But I don't know.
You've seen it, like.
No. For this same reason, Chazal permitted us to take an item off of a mukta item, even though the mukta item might move. You don't have to worry about that, because your movement of the mukta item is tiltul min atzad. Sometimes you have, we have a machloket, whether the tefillin are muktzah or not. But let's say you left many things in your bag. You want to take out your talis. When you take out your talis, your pens might move, other things might move in the bag that are muktzah. So we say, right, but that's still tul min atzad. I'm not moving them directly, I'm taking my talis. If they move, just like I could move my talis, if they were on my talis, I could move it because it's tiltul min atzad letzorech davar mutar. I need the talis, I don't need the pens moving. So by the same token, I'm allowed to take out that item even though it'll move something else. Now this, we come across this all the time in our drawer. Sometimes you take an item out of the drawer and other things are going to move. You have muktzah things in the drawer as well. Well, that's going to be tiltul min atzad. The other things that move, you're not moving them directly, you're taking the permissible item. And you're not doing it for their sake, you're taking it for the sake of your item. This happens in the freezer. When you take out, you have flour in the freezer. Flour is not edible, right? You have in the freezer raw meat. You want to take some things out of the freezer and the other things are going to move. So that's, again, that's permissible because it's tiltul min atzad. I'm not moving it directly. It's a tzorch davar mutar. I'm doing it for the sake of the permissible item. So that's, again, going to be permissible. There's another example of that. I don't remember now. Yeah.
Assume this is the table and I need it on Shabbat. And I have got one book that I intended to read on Shabbat and one that I did not intend to read on Shabbat.
A book doesn't become muktzah just because you didn't mean to read it this Shabbat.
Okay.
You don't have to think which books you will and won't read on Shabbat. Books aren't muktzah. The question is, with regards to a math book, with regards to books that pertain to secular studies. So if you enjoy it, it's your pleasure reading, so then you could read it. If it's work-related, to start reading your tax return on Shabbat, there, that's going to be muktzah, because you're not supposed to read that on Shabbat. So assuming you know the halacha, for you it's muktzah. We discussed the response of Rav Moshe Feinstein about those people who don't know that they're not supposed to read it, where he said then it's not muktzah. Okay, so here we had Tiltul Minatzat. Now, we have another example which comes up often. Your child picks up something muktzah. Your child is holding a rattle. So a rattle is muktzah because it's an instrument that's made to make noise. So we can't use a rattle on Shabbos. Your child is holding a rattle. Can I carry the child with the rattle in his hand? Can I say, that's tiltul min atzad? I'm carrying the child. The rattle, I'm not interested. It's tiltul min atzad. So we would say that, but Chazal said not to say that. Chazal said that if it wasn't a child, if it was a dummy holding the rattle, right, then you could say that. But being that it's a child, so Chazal said we view it as an extension of you. And if you pick up a kid when he's handling something muktzah, that's prohibited. So the example of the Mishnah is, a person shouldn't lift his son while his son is holding rocks. So children will play with rocks. Rocks are muktzah. You can't pick up your kid when he's holding the rock in his hand. So we have to first tell the child, put down the muktzah, I'll take you. Okay, it might depend on which type of muktzah it is. Meaning the Mishnah gave an example of a very strict muktzah. We know that a rock is one of the more severe forms of muktzah because it has no use. It's not a vessel. A rock, as opposed to a rattle, is more severe muktzah. What would be if it's a klishim nachtoli yisur? Your kid picked up a pen. So there might be more room to be lenient. Just like I could move the pen, litzorch gufo and mekomo. Chazal said, when I need the space, I'm allowed to move the pen on Shabbat. When I need to use the pen, let's say to open up, a package of something, I'm allowed to use it on Shabbat. So there might be room to be lenient, to lift the child with the muktzah in his hand. So that's the rule with the child. The commentaries wanted to ask why is a child different? One explanation that's given is that you want your child to hold on to the thing that makes him happy. You can't say, it's tiltul min atzad, litzorch davar mutar. I'm not interested in the rock. You know that if you make the kid put down the rock, he's going to wail his head off and cry. So you do want the kid to hold the rock. So that's one interpretation that's given as to why the Mishnah states you cannot lift a child with a rock in his hands. There's another type of moving things, which is called tiltul begufo, moving something with your body. And here we enter the realm of what we call in the laws of Shabbos, kile'achar yad. I'm doing it with the back of my hand. I'm doing it not in the classical way. So, it reduces the stringency of anything I do. So, for example, let's say a neighbor of mine came over once and they said they had configured a new way of how to set up their hot plate on Shabbat. They had placed it on a new type of, closet that they bought. And now it's 2 hours into Shabbat, and they realize that the closet is getting very hot. And they believe that if they leave it that way throughout Shabbat, the closet might catch fire. They hadn't realized that the hot plate heats things up beneath it so much. So we tried to analyze if there was a way to lift the hot plate to make it far enough away that it wouldn't heat up the closet. Bottom line, there's no such option. The plug is short. The distance from the plug to the closet is exactly such. They don't have a solution. The only solution they have is to unplug the hot plate. So they don't have to allow a fire to break out in their house. They don't have to endanger themselves and firefighters and who knows who else. So in that scenario where there was a danger that a fire would break out, so the conclusion was that they should pull the plug on the hot plate. How do you pull the plug on a hot plate? So if you take it with your hand, you did the action directly, and then that's a direct act of destroying Shabbos, a transgressing Shabbos. You've destroyed the circuit. So again, for pikuach nefesh, if you had no choice, so you could do that. But why would you do that? You can do it kila achar yad. Let's say he and his wife, they'd each put their back of their hand against the plug and pull it out backwards. Let's say if it's an easy plug to pull out, or if it's a more difficult plug. I once had that we were at a place and there was an empty microwave, and one of the kids figured out how to turn it on for an hour. So that can really cause a fire. So it was Shabbos. And what I did was I grabbed the plug with my teeth and I pulled it out with my teeth. What am I gaining by doing it that way? That it's tiltul kile'achar yad. I've moved the muktzah item. I've done the task on Shabbos in the abnormal way. And right away I've reduced it from a biblical prohibition to a rabbinic prohibition. The second we change the way we do the task, the tasks of Shabbat are prohibited biblically when done the normal way. When I'm going to do it in an abnormal way, what the Gemara calls kilachar yad, with the back of my hand, so then I've reduced the level of prohibition from biblical to rabbinic. So even though if there's a danger, so I'm allowed to do biblical things to ensure there won't be a danger. But if I could just as easily do it the rabbinic way, so why wouldn't I? That's the more correct way to do it. So that's a concept which we use in many tasks of Shabbat, where it comes up that we have to do something on Shabbat, we would much rather do it kila'achar yad. So if you're taking care of a sick person, and the sick person needs to rest, and under their circumstances you have to push buttons in the hospital or do things, so if you can do them just as easily kila'achar yad, so then you should do it kila'achar yad, do it with the back of your hand, don't do it directly. Sometimes it's not just as easy. When I was taking care of my grandfather in his final days, so it was Shabbat, and he needed his bed moved, and every movement over there was part of his pikuach nefesh. I just took the remote control and I did what I had to do, because if I was going to start delaying, I realized it was affecting his health. It was important to ease his breathing. There were things, a person's having trouble breathing, so now you're going to try to figure out how to move the remote control. It's not right. The person's having trouble breathing. You have to help him. Hatzalah members can't think of ambulance corps. They can't think of how do I do this kilachar yad. Let me see if I can put an infusion kilachar yad. I'll hold it with the back of my fingers and we'll see. You don't do that. Once you're dealing with pikuach nefesh, so it's rare that you do kilachar yad. I even went once, my wife gave birth on Shabbat, and we called a non-Jewish taxi driver. It was the middle of the night, and they kept pushing us off. And finally, we realized they're not coming. So at that point, we didn't have that much time left to delivery. So we had to call an ambulance. And when the ambulance drivers came, so they came up by elevator. We were by my in-laws then. And they left the house, and as they left, they told me, call the elevator. I should push the button. I remember standing there, standing with my hand, and I had to, push myself. And then he tells me, why'd you do that? I said, what was I supposed to do? He says, do it with the back of your hand. It takes just a second. It takes the same amount of time to push the elevator button, right, with your finger in the back of your hand. He's right. So sometimes it makes no difference. But in everything else where it makes a difference, you can't start driving the car like this. You have to drive normally. You have to do things normally. So we ordinarily tell people who are dealing, doctors, nurses, we tell them almost everything you do normally, you can't do it kilachayat. On things like pushing the elevator button where you could just as easily do it with the back of your hand. So do it with the back of your hand. We gain that it's kilachariyat. So we have circumstances where it's relevant. The guy knew that for the next hour or two, there isn't a danger. He knew that in the course of the night, the heat might cause a fire. So under such a circumstance, we say, do it kilachariyat. Don't do it the direct way, do it the indirect way. Assuming you can accomplish the same thing and it's just as safe. We once had a hot water urn that was leaking on Shabbat. So hot water urns that run out of water can go on fire. The heat element over there, theoretically, they have an emergency shutoff. Realistically, you don't always know that the emergency shutoff will work. So I came to Mahon Meir. It was a half hour before davening here. And of course, who was here? All the guys in the gear department who were not yet Jewish, they were here a nice half hour before davening, preparing for davening. And I unfortunately had to disrupt one of the guys from his preparations and ask him if he could come to my house to pull the plug on the hot water. So why am I calling him if it's Pikuach Nefesh? Because I knew I had an hour or two before there was any danger. The hot water urn was still nice and full until it would all leak out. I had a lot of time. And when he came, so I asked myself, is there a point in asking a non-Jew to do it kilachariyad on Shabbos? Meaning he didn't yet convert. He was in the conversion program. Do you say kilachariyad? I don't know the answer to that. Because technically he has no prohibition. He's not yet Jewish. He has no prohibition on Shabbat to pull the plug. He's in training. So he's practicing Shabbat. So now when we come to tiltul, to moving mukta items, so we have another concept called tiltul begufo. And we're going to see that this comes up a lot. Moving something with your body, instead of moving it directly. And that that brings us to the level of kilachariyad. I'm moving it in an indirect way. And with the body is considered even more lenient than kilachariyad. Meaning it falls under the heading of kilachariyad, but it has greater leniencies than the regular kilachariyad. The regular kilachariyad is still considered movement, it's considered tiltul, only it's considered a lesser form of tiltul. Whereas moving something with your body, it's considered as though you didn't move it at all. So the first example we have in the Gemara is a guy comes to his bed, and he finds some mukta items left on his bed. He finds some money on his bed. So it says he could wiggle around the bed and all the money will fall on the sides of the bed and he can go to sleep. So technically, money is mukta on a higher level. And you wouldn't be able to move money just because you need that space. We discussed that money is like a rock. It's mukta mechamat gufo. Money is something which it's not yet a vessel. A pen is a vessel. So a pen is kli. It's a vessel that's used for prohibited action on Shabbos. If I need the space of the pen, I'm allowed to move it in order to be able to eat by this table. If I come to the Shabbos table and I realize I left my drill on the Shabbos table. Okay, a drill is mukta, but it's a vessel. It's a kli, shem lachto li isur. So I'm allowed to take the drill and put it away so I can eat over here. What happens if I come to the Shabbos table and I realize I left 5 shekels on the table? There I run into a bigger problem. I'm not allowed to directly handle it, to remove it from the table, because money isn't an instrument. It's not a kli. So being that it isn't an instrument, it's a greater form of mukta. It's like a rock. And there I would not have the leniency of tiltul, being allowed to move it, litzorach mekomo, because I needed space. What about on your bed? So on your bed, the Gemara says, there if you wiggle around and it just falls off the bed, that's mutal. If it were a pen, if it were a screwdriver, if it's an instrument that's used for prohibited action, so then it's a kli shem lachto li isur. I'm allowed to take it, put it in its place. But money is not an instrument. A rock is not an instrument. So there I'm not allowed to move it directly. Here Chazal gave us a greater leniency. Chazal said moving it with your body does not even go under the heading of tiltul, of movement. It's not tiltul kilachariyad. It is even more lenient than tiltul kilachariyad. If I were to move it with the back of my hand, so that's far more stringent. That's direct movement. in an unusual way. It's tiltul, I'm moving it, kil'achar yad, in an unusual way. There, it's not so easy. Chazal won't be so lenient with me. But if I'm moving it with my body, wiggling around on the bed, Chazal said that's even more lenient than kil'achar yad, and Chazal permitted it. And we will continue in this discussion of tiltul begufo, moving something with your body as opposed to kil'achar yad.